The Michigan Ag Today podcast is brought to you by the Michigan Agricultural Mediation Program, providing free services to Michigan farmers and ranchers of all types. If you need help, mediation may be the solution. Visit their website at michiganmediates.org. A win in the U.S. House for agriculture. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Michigan Ag Today News. From Capitol Hill to the countryside, there's news this week that's bringing relief to farmers, grain handlers, and exporters across the U.S. Greg Allen has more.
On Monday afternoon, the U.S. House of Representatives passed H.R. 4550, the U.S. Grain Standards Reauthorization Act, a move aimed at preventing key provisions in the U.S. Grain Standards Act from expiring at the end of the month.
A lapse in authorization would disrupt the current grain inspection and weighing process, cost the farm economy more than $70 million a day, and create serious consequences for American family farms, our supply chain, and our international trading partners. These disruptions are entirely avoidable.
That's Glenn G.T. Thompson, chair of the House Committee on Agriculture, urging Congress to pass the reauthorization before the September 30th deadline.
We're doing our farmers and export partners a disservice if we don't do our jobs and get this critical piece of legislation across the finish line.
The U.S. Grain Standards Act, originally passed in 1916, governs how grains like wheat, corn, and soybeans are inspected and weighed before export.
If we want America to maintain its status as the safest, most abundant grain supply in the world, reauthorization of this act before several of its key provisions expire at the end of September is absolutely essential.
H.R. 4550 passed with bipartisan support, showing a rare moment of unity in a sharply divided Congress. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle acknowledge the importance of maintaining strong, transparent, and consistent grain standards, especially as U.S. producers face rising global competition. The bill now heads to the Senate, where ag industry groups are urging swift passage before the deadline. For farmers, grain elevators, and rural communities who depend on grain exports, this reauthorization isn't just paperwork, it's peace of mind. I'm Greg Allen.
Seed Genetics Direct is proud to announce their new 2026 seed guide is now available for viewing at seedgeneticsdirect.com. They've added three new powerful hybrids to their corn lineup, along with seven new soybean releases, including one that shows natural resistance to white mold. There's lots to be excited about for the 2026 growing season. View the Seed Genetics Direct seed guide online and make your shopping list today. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
Hi, I'm Skip Byersdorf from Saginaw County, and you're listening to Michigan Ag Today.
Pretty nice Friday shaping up for us here across Michigan. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with that Michigan Ag weather update. In lower Michigan, we see full sunshine through the entirety of the day. In the UP, watching some moisture try and come together to our west and northwest, coming out of Minnesota and southern Manitoba and trying to work across Lake Superior. I think that does throw in here a chance for showers and maybe even a few thunderstorms through this evening and overnight in the UP. And still, the question remains, does any of this moisture hold together and cross Lake Michigan getting into lower Michigan? The answer is right now, probably, but it doesn't look like it's super massive. As a matter of fact, the main change that we're seeing right now in this little disturbance is, yes, there's some more moisture holding on, but the trajectory is farther south, or I guess we should say more sharply southeast as it comes into and through Lake Superior. That means it moves across parts of Wisconsin, eastern Wisconsin, northeastern Illinois, and into Indiana, and just grazes western Michigan. So there's some moisture around as we move through the day on Saturday, but maybe not as much in terms of coverage. In any case, by the time we get to Sunday, we are sunny and cooler, but dry. And then we put together that dry pattern all the way through next week. Monday through at least Sunday, we are seeing high pressure dominate the discussion here. I don't think we see another well-organized system until we get into the week of the 22nd, likely closer to Tuesday the 23rd. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
How does a soybean become a Dairyland seed difference maker? It starts in the labs of Corteva Agriscience, where Enlist E3 technology is designed to fight the toughest weeds for the greatest yield potential. Then it's hand-selected by Dairyland seed agronomists to be the ideal fit for Midwestern soils and conditions. Finally, it's tested on acres by farmers like you to ensure it's proven to outperform. It's a long road, but the only way to make a difference. Find your soybean difference maker at DairylandSeedSoybeans.com.
It's time now for Michigan Ag Today's Farm Market Review. And later today at 12 noon, that's when USDA will release its monthly WASDE report, which could have a major impact on the grain markets. Joining us now, Andy Eubank and Carl Setzer with Consus Ag Consulting. And they spoke just before the close of trade Thursday afternoon.
As you and I speak, Thursday trade, Carl, is winding down. It's been a solid day with gains in the soy complex, corn and wheat higher as well. And that comes on the heels of an export sales report first thing in the morning. That was not good.
Yeah, not a good week of export sales at all, Andy. And a lot of that stems from really the timing. This does tend to be a poor week for sales. Number one reason, the Labor Day holiday, but we also throw in year-end, the final year-end sales. So we do have a lot of cancellations or washouts that tend to show up the first week of September. Trade really kind of brushes them off a little bit because we're used to it. What's a little bit more concerning on the export sales front is that we haven't had a lot of flash sales here recently and nothing to China yet. Trade looking a little bit more at our domestic usage, though, with ethanol corn grind continuing to outpace what trade was expecting. Looks like we're about 100 million bushels ahead of USDA expectations on our ethanol grind. Exports also running a little bit ahead for the year, but the big one, soybean crush. Even though we have a large soybean crop and we haven't seen any demand from China so far, our soybean stocks have started to dwindle to a rationing position, and now we have soy oil sitting at a seven-month low, and we have meal at a nine-month low. That's starting to give that complex a little bit more support than the negativity that's been coming from the export side.
USDA, noon Eastern time on Friday. Is the trade now positioned for that? Could there be some surprises that may move the markets in a major way, one way or another?
The big interest going into the September WASDE is going to be on yield. USDA put out some very lofty yield numbers back in August, 188.8 bushels per acre on corn, 53.6 bushels per acre on soybeans. That is where attention will go first of all. We're also going to see a little bit more attention on our old crop carryout. We'll get the final numbers there.
Carl Setzer with Consus Ag Consulting. Settlements from Thursday, both December and March corn up 2 3/4, December at 419 3/4, March at 437 1/4. November beans climbing 8 1/4 to 1033 1/2, January 1052 1/2, 7 3/4 higher. December wheat up 8 at 521 1/2. October live cattle gaining $1.12 at 232.27. October lean hogs $1.35 higher at 98.17. I'm CJ Miller, Michigan Ag Today, Michigan's Farm Network.